You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Hey. All right, Wednesday. How's everybody doing? Doing all right? We're halfway through the week, so it's good. Man, I can't tell you how fun it is for me to be back. I've sat where you are sitting right now just countless times in the 4 years that I've spent here. I've been through a lot of chapels, a lot of experiences. And so leading up to this, I thought, what would have been helpful in retrospect, now that, you know, I've had a little bit of life experience, made a ton of mistakes, and believe me, a ton of mistakes, what would I have wanted to hear? When I was sitting where you're sitting, what would I have appreciated hearing, processing, communicating with God about in these seats? And I remember chapels that were phenomenal and chapels that I was like, I wonder what that was about. And I didn't want to be one of those where it was like, hey, what was that guy talking about? We have no idea. Let's go about our day. I want to be incredibly relevant to where you guys are at, but then also where you're going, what you're doing after this. Because my guess is that most of you, if not all of you, are here for a very specific reason. You're here at this university for a very specific reason. And high level, that reason probably has something to do with the fact that you want to be successful in your life. You want to find some level of success in whatever it is that you feel called to do, whatever you feel like your purpose is, whatever your passion is. Whether you're going into ministry full-time, you want to work at a church or the mission field, whether you want to work in the marketplace at a business, whether you want to go into finance, whether you're in nursing and you want to go into healthcare, you're here to help propel you into a life that you feel is successful and impactful. But the key question that we all need to ask ourselves is, how do you define success? How do you define success? Now, we know how the world defines success, don't we? We know how the world defines success, things like power. If you just get power, you're going to be successful. That indicates that you're successful in whatever you choose to do. Power. How about wealth? Boy, if you can just gain money and just get some money under your belt and in your bank account, that means you're successful. What about notoriety or status? Right? These are the things that the world says, the world around us says, this means you're successful. But those things, power, wealth, status, notoriety, those things, I'm here to tell you, those things in and of themselves are not bad. They're not bad. But here's when they become corruptive, when they become the goal instead of tools to help you accomplish the goal. When those things become the goal, that's when it starts to be corruptive to our souls. And I'm telling you, in my experience since leaving Bethel and all the places that I've been and interacted with, this in organizations and companies, at churches, that path, when those things become the goal, that path is a dead-end road. Now, like I said, they're not bad in and of themselves. But are they a tool or are they the goal? I've seen marriages and families broken, shattered. Individuals who have all the money, all the success, all the notoriety that they ever set out to have, and they wind up broken people, hurting. Marriages dissolved. Their kids hate them. And they have everything they ever wanted. And then they're left asking themselves, I thought this is what I was supposed to do to be successful. I thought this was what the world says I'm supposed to do. And they miss it. So friends, the time we have, just the short time we have here, I want to help you. Whatever you're choosing to go into, how do you find success in a way that brings joy, that brings fulfillment, that actually sets you on a kingdom mission? Like, what is the path that God has for you in how you do what you do? Not just what you do, but how you do what you do. Because how you do what you do and why you do what you do, regardless of what you do, really matters. It matters for you, and it matters for the people that you're going to have influence over in your lives. So what is the purpose that human beings find true success, true meaning in. Now, if I was going to ask you guys in this room, just quick show of hands, how many of you would consider yourself a leader? How many would consider yourself a leader? Anybody? Okay, see, handful, yeah, that's good. Now, this all starts, success, and how do you have impact, really starts with our understanding of what leadership is. Now, how we often define leadership is this, it's a title, right? It's a specific position that we have, and whatever you're going to do, it's a position, it's a title, it's when you have authority or control over something. That's what leadership is. The key thing in this is we have a misunderstanding of what leadership is. And if I were to tell you that every single person in this room, whether you know it or not, you have capacity for leadership, every single one of you. It comes with understanding what leadership really is, why it's important for us to grasp it, and how it's going to help you impact and influence and find the success that you want to have, success that is God-honoring and fulfilling and impactful. Okay, now I'm going to need you guys' help in this, okay? I'm actually going to need you guys to like yell things out because this is an all skate. This is a group exercise. If I was going to ask you, let's do this, leadership. If I was going to ask you to think of a leader in your life that has been impactful, that you look up to, that you respect, it could be a teacher, it could be a professor, it could be a coach, it could be a parent, it could be a friend. It might not even be somebody that you know, maybe somebody that you've looked at from afar and said, oh, that's a good leader. If I was going to ask you, what are the behaviors of a good leader? What are the behaviors, the actual behaviors of a good leader? What would you say that those behaviors are? Anybody, just yell them out. Humility, great one. What else? Oh, you guys, come on. Monday was great with this. Come on, Wednesday, step up. What are the behaviors of a good leader?
Integrity.
Integrity. Nice. What else? Understanding. Ooh, I like that one. Nice. Understanding. All right, we're getting warmed up. Keep going. What else? Resiliency and what'd you say? Personable. Resiliency and personable. That's good. If I miss resiliency, if I misspell something, let me know. And you said personable, right?
Yep.
Personable. What else? Confident and what? One more time, sir. Control. Okay. Confident and control. Confident. And then we'll just say in control. Boy, that probably plays out in a few different regards, right? What else? We'll just give me a couple more.
Willing.
Willing. Love it. That's good. Willing. One more.
Organized.
All right. Okay, good list. Now, we could probably spend all day doing some of this. We could write down individual traits and characteristics. I've done this exercise with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people at different organizations, different churches, people with different socioeconomic backgrounds, different ethnicities, different, literally in different regions of the country and the world. And the list is always the same. It's always the same. Now you might think, yeah, we're a Christian college. Of course we're going to come up with things like humility and integrity, right? Of course we're going to say that because we follow Jesus. And these are all the things that Jesus was, right? It doesn't matter where I've gone, whether it's a Christian environment or a secular environment, whatever it is, the list is always the same. Always the same. Why is that? It's because we know what good leadership is when we see it. And we know what bad leadership is when we see it too, don't we? We inherently know as human beings what good leadership is. And we know plenty of people who when they act out of these things, those are the people we want to follow. We actually want to follow them. And there's a whole handful of people that climb into positions of power and influence that when they don't act like this, they might have authority But we don't follow him because we want to. We follow him because we have to. We don't follow him because we want to. We follow him because we have to. Now, what I want to call out in this list, and again, there could be a lot of other things that we could put on here. Regardless of what you do, what field you go into, whether it's ministry, you work at a church, or you go work at a hospital, you work in finance, this, and a whole lot more words probably added to this, this is essentially your job description. Because you might be really good at what you do. You might be very competent. And that's why we're here, right? We're building competence. We're trying to build our skill sets, build our abilities right now to be able to go into the fields and do what we want to do, what we feel called to do. But everything about this list, now certainly there are skill sets associated with these things, right? There are skill sets associated with these things, particularly being organized, right? There are skill sets, certainly. But more often than not, the things that people list, it's not just skill sets. These are character traits. These are character traits. You see, we want to be excellent, and we want our leaders to be competent, right? But we can see people who are very competent, but we don't trust their character, do we? We don't trust their integrity. We don't trust their intent. And those are people that we don't want to follow if we have a choice. We might have to. Here's the important piece. Build all of the competence in the world. Make yourself excellent. Lean into what you're doing now. But don't miss the fact that it doesn't just matter what you do. It matters how you do it and why you do it. You want to know what leadership is? Leadership is not a title. Leadership is not authority. Leadership is influence. Leadership is influence. And every single one of you has influence. I don't care if it's over one person, five people, 50 people. Regardless of what your circle of influence looks like, you all have it. Every single one of you has influence. The question is, how will you steward it? How will you steward the influence that you have? Now, we look at Jesus a lot, right? I love to learn about Jesus. Now, Jesus, obviously we view him as Savior, Messiah, Son of God, one-third of the Trinity, right? These are the things we know Jesus is, but one of the things that's oftentimes overlooked is Jesus was a phenomenal, phenomenal leader of human beings. Did Jesus have a particular title? Now, his followers called him rabbi or teacher or Lord, like they kind of bestowed titles on him, but he didn't have formal or official titles, right? He didn't have formal or official or bestowed power from any kind of organization or government authority. Jesus led through influence. Leadership is influence. And we find in Matthew a perfect example of this. Now, Jesus does this. He says, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." Your servant. "And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, remember what we said? How the world views success, how the world views good leadership. Wealth, power, notoriety, status, like these are the goals that we chase after. Jesus, he flips the script, doesn't he? He flips the script and says, the ones that are greatest among you, it's not about being the most powerful, it's about being a servant. Power through service. I don't care what you guys are going into, I guarantee you the most effective way to influence and lead other human beings, regardless of what you're doing, is to serve them well. It's to serve them. Now, I want to draw a picture real fast. I'm just going to flip this around because I believe it's blank on the other side. Is it blank? Oh, perfect. All right. I want you to help me. What am I drawing right now? Let's draw that line. Anybody know what I'm drawing right now? Org charts. Perfect. And then so on and so forth, depending on how large the church or organization is or whatever. Org chart. I guarantee you, most of you, again, regardless of what you're going into, will exist within some sort of org chart at some point. If you're going into any sort of formalized organization, whether it's even in the mission field, you go into the mission field through an organization, you will probably fit somewhere within an org chart. Does anybody know where the org chart originated? Does anybody know? It's the military. The org chart was a military construct. It didn't get implemented into business or the marketplace or anything other than the military actually until this past century, about middle to beginning of this past century. And org charts are really good for a couple things. They're really good for communication and decision making, right? When you're in the battlefield and time is of the essence and you don't want delays because you need to make decisions quickly because it impacts lives and it impacts you winning the battle or not, org charts are helpful. Who's got command? Chain of command. Who's making the call? Right? Now, what org charts naturally do when they got implemented into business, org charts started to appeal to some of our base nature. What do I mean by that? Human beings actually have a strong desire for progress in life. We want to feel like we are progressing. We want to feel like we're going somewhere. Every single one of us does. And we're actually wired for that. And that's okay. But the thing with an org chart is it actually, in some unhealthy ways, starts to exploit some of our base, honestly, sinful nature. Because what happens is, let's say we sit here, and if we're not careful, and we view success as being, I need more power. That's what success is. I need more authority. I need more wealth. We start to look at an org chart, and we say, huh, how can I get from here to there? And then when we're here, we might start to look around us and say, huh, that's looking pretty good. I think I could do that better than that person. Or, you know, I'm better than the people that are on the same level as me. Or, you know, if I just climb to here, it's a little more money, a little more power, a little more influence. Like it kind of corrupts and speaks to some of our base nature. That's generally speaking just what org charts tend to do. And I don't care if it's in the marketplace or at a church. We're all human beings. It plays out the same way. Now, I want to show you a picture in a second. This is an org chart, one of the first known documented org charts in existence. I'm going to point to the screen. This is an org chart that was literally hand-drawn. This is from 1855 from the Erie Railroad. This is an org chart. It looks a lot different than this. Now, I just want to ask you, high level, well, and let me explain real fast. So that the bottom of that thing, you see kind of the circular looking thing, that's all the top leaders of that company. Top leaders, CEO, board of directors, executive team. And then as it goes upward, you start to see positionally, the lower this goes, the higher that goes. See, some of the things that might look like they're at the top there, those are just kind of the individual workers or employees of the organization. High level, and you guys can just say it out. Just when you look at this, does this resemble anything to you? Does it look like anything? Tree. A tree. And here's what's interesting about a tree. What is at the base of a tree? The roots, right? The roots. But roots exist below the surface, don't they? You don't see them. Jesus articulates for us this manner of servant leadership. It's not about me. I might not even be seen. It's about the people within my span of care. When you might sit at the roots of a tree, it's all about how can I give life, joy, fulfillment? How can I help the people around me, below me, above me on this org chart, succeed? How can I serve them for them? Not serve myself for myself. And I'm telling you, friends, if we can grasp this concept of Jesus-oriented servant leadership, regardless of what you do or wherever you might fall on some sort of org chart, you will feel more purpose, more fulfillment, more passion, and you will see more impact on the lives of the people around you than you could ever hope. Because Jesus then, God himself, will multiply your influence. He will multiply your influence. And there's ways in which our brains function as human beings. When the people around us, when we trust their character, not just what they do, but who they are and how they do it, what that does to our psychology, our neurobiology, is it actually builds things like trust, inspiration, loyalty. Like, we are actually, in our performance and our ability to succeed is expanded when somebody leads with servant leadership. So whatever you go into, seek to serve. Seek to serve. And oftentimes, you'll wind up finding the influence, the impact that you may have wanted from the beginning, but now you're doing it the right way. Power, wealth, notoriety, status, those are no longer ends of themselves. They're tools to have the kind of impact that God calls us to have, regardless of what you go into. In Acts, this is Paul. He's having his Damascus Road experience right now, right? He's walking one way, and Jesus just knocks him down and intersects him. And from this point going forward, he is facing a completely different direction. And he says it like this: "Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet.'" And here's the interesting piece with this verse. Jesus himself says this: "I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant." And then he says, "And as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me." I have appointed you a servant. It says something about God's kingdom economy, God's org chart, right? Because the word appointment typically means I've elevated you to a certain position, right? I've elevated you from here to here. I'm appointing you to a high-level position. And then he says, "I've appointed you a servant." Doesn't that say something about God's kingdom economy? That the highest positions that we could have are those of servants. Whatever you go into, seek to serve. That's where true success is really found. That's the life God calls us to live. But I have to tell you, character starts now. You're building your competence, right? Competence, that's what you're here doing. You're building that. You're building your competence to be excellent at whatever it is that you do. It's great. And be competent. We are called to be excellent at what we do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, build your competence. And that's an important piece of what we do and how we lead. Now, another piece of that is this: build good connections. And there's a skill set to that, relationship building. Because you can be really, really good at what you do, but if you don't build connections with other human beings, again, people might think you're good at what you do, but they might not want to be around you at all. And I don't think that's what we're called to either. But the piece that we can't miss, and everything we listed on the other side of this marker board, is this character piece. It's not just what you do, it's how you do it. It's not just what you do, it's why you do it. People will always be evaluating, what's your intent with this? And it comes back to integrity. We listed it. If we have all of this in the world and we don't have this, again, you might be successful in terms of power and influence and wealth and status, but that's an empty road if you don't have this. And this starts now. This starts now. Every opportunity you have now, from here to the dining commons, to your dorm room, to your classroom, there are opportunities for you to exhibit character. Integrity. How are you serving the people around you right now? Because it's built now. There will come a time in whatever you guys are doing where you will have an opportunity to lean on your character, to build trust with the people around you, to influence people around you. And it will depend on the character that you've built now, not just in that moment, but before. It's like a muscle. Character is like a muscle that we build. Integrity is like a muscle that we build. If I just sit down on a bench press rack and I load up 300 pounds, I will kill myself. Because you don't just sit down and start to try to bench 300 pounds. What do? You start with, probably in my case, like 50 pounds. 50 pounds. And then you work up to it. 60, 75, 100, 150. Character is the same way. You don't build a house in a hurricane, friends. How you build your character now will yield the influence and the impact that you want to have later. This isn't a, hey, when I graduate and I get into my field and that's when I'll start building my influence. That will be determined by how you're building yourself now and in this moment. You want to know a dangerous prayer? Here's a dangerous prayer. And I love dangerous prayers. God, give me opportunities now to build my character. Whew, he will. Won't always be fun. that it'll be worth it. And God will continue to expand your influence, expand your impact for him and his kingdom because of the character that you're building now, the integrity you're building now. But it all starts with how you'll measure success in your life. Again, the world says, build yourself for yourself. I am telling you, regardless of what you go into, you will feel that pull, especially as people around you, that's their mindset. Build yourself for yourself, and then you might start to see them have success, right? They might start to climb a ladder. We will feel pulled towards that. Jesus calls us to something different. It's not build yourself for yourself. It's give of yourself for others. Give of yourself for others. And then you'll oftentimes find that your influence will continue to expand. And guess what? Now you've got more capacity and more opportunity to give of yourself for others again. And then your influence will continue to expand. More opportunity to give of yourself for others again. In John, Jesus, he's with his disciples. And it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus himself says it. You will be blessed if you do them, if you serve well. We have to make sure that that is our mindset, and it is a hard one because this is not the way of the world. Everything about how this world is structured is a power over structure. Governments, businesses, whatever it is, power over structure, right? Jesus comes in and he subverts the structure, and it's a power under, power through service, power through sacrifice. I guarantee you that is a fulfilling road for your life. That is a successful life. And friends, that's where legacy comes from. I've known plenty of people who have made a lot of money, a lot of impact, a lot of influence. They have status, notoriety, but ultimately it was to serve themselves for themselves. And people don't remember people like that. They might remember them from certain things, but not the things that matter. If you want to have the type of legacy that I think God wants you to have for his kingdom, it comes through service. Service. But it's hard. And everything in our human nature will pull against us. We'll pull against that. But that's where the Spirit comes in. The Spirit comes in and helps us flip the script. And we will be able to exist in a world in which we can set a new standard. And that's the opportunity you have in front of you. Whatever field you go into, whatever you do, Jesus is calling us to flip the script on the way the world operates and to show them a better way. That's leadership. Every single one of you has it. So steward it wisely. I think it'd be good, just before we wrap up, to pray. To pray that God would give us opportunities now to build the character he wants us to build, so that we can wield the influence he wants us to have in a way that honors him, not for ourselves, but for him. I just think it'd be good for us to pray for that, and he'll give us those opportunities to grow our character, to grow our integrity, to build trust with others, to impact and influence. That's a life well lived. I think it'd be good if we prayed about it before we left here and went about the rest of our day. God, we want to pray the dangerous prayer. Please give us opportunities right now, today, to increase our character, to flex and build that character muscle. God, give us eyes to see opportunities to serve, to be a servant to others, to our schoolmates, to our professors, to our friends, and yeah, even to people that we might not even like. God, give us eyes to see opportunities to serve now. God, so that we can influence the people around us toward you, to shine a light toward you, to bring you glory, and to show people a better way of living than the way that the world tells us. God, show us the places we can serve more and help us to build the character muscle that we know you will bless in due time with the opportunities to impact and influence for your kingdom the way you want us to. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.